finding them on the papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it goes. Talk radio. Double talk is all you get, and you wanna hear it straight. There's a place to find all the answers.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. And on this program today, on Tuesday, the 19th of December, 2006, just a few more shopping days left till Christmas, our vaunted pagan holiday here in America. I won't go down that rabbit hole. But at any rate, on today's program, I have Bob Chapman coming up with us in just a few minutes. There are creative people out there, folks. I remember the last recession that hit Detroit, Michigan, Detroit, in the auto industry. This is not funny, but it is in a way, because, as I said, people are creative. People were scarfing up anything to take it to the junkyard, selling scrap metal. They were literally stripping aluminum siding on people's houses up there and selling the aluminum. Or the city of the Detroit, the streets department, noticed that, well, they didn't have to change as many bulbs in their street lamps because the street lamps weren't there anymore. People were actually going out, unbolting the street lamps and cutting them up and selling them off for scrap. Well, as I said, people are creative. Out of the Chicago Sun-Times a couple of days ago, Mint bans melting coins now worth more as liquid than loot. In other words, people are taking nickels and pennies and melting them down. Given rising metal prices, the pennies and the nickels in your pockets are worth more melted down than their face value. And that has Uncle Sammy worried. U.S. Mint officials said Wednesday that they were putting into place rules prohibiting the melting down of 1 cent and 5 cent coins, with a penalty of up to 5 years in prison and a fine of up to $10,000 for people convicted of violating the rule. Now, why are they so concerned? Well, because of the prevailing prices of metals. The cost of producing pennies and nickels exceeds the coin's face value. A nickel is 25% nickel and 75% copper. The metal in one coin costs 6.99 cents for each 5 cent coin. So you've got a net gain of 1.99 cents. Modern pennies have 2.5% copper content, with zinc making up the rest of the coin. The current copper and zinc in a penny are worth about 1.21 cents. So basically what we have is nickels aren't really nickels anymore, 75% copper, but copper is a metal, ladies and gentlemen, and it's worth something. And the government realized this. When they start making our coins, especially the pennies, it's copper washed zinc. So I would even doubt that 2.5% of a penny is even copper, but that's what they're saying. But it's now a crime, folks, even though it's money. Now, ownership of what? Is the nickels and the dimes and the pennies and the quarters you have in your kit, is that your property? No, the government says it's theirs. So you're not allowed to put them down to sell it off and make a profit, because Uncle Sammy can't make a profit, and they're losing money every time they get the worthless things. Well, not too worthless, but they're worth more than face value, the coin. Interesting story. Be back with Bob Chapman, international forecaster, right after this.
Stand up, be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to Iraq. Now he has lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants like George W. Bush, who as roaring lions go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this Up Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by John Martinez entitled Stop and Be Counted. Just go www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Hey America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into this slavery and bondage? Perverts and the godless, the rules. Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and slice of bread. Call 800-409-563. On the web, foodsdirect.com. 800-409-563.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excite of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accessed perfectly by many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback water skiing, scuba dive, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-772-53-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
For real talk real. You're listening to the National Endel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Well, last Thursday I had Bob Chapman on, and the following day, the financial report, the 2006 financial report of the United States government, as really Treasury Department, it didn't have effect on the market. And I was wondering why, because, well, we went from a $248.2 billion deficit for the year 2006, when the actual numbers are $4.6 trillion for this year alone. And I'm a little confused here, because we had our good buds and pals, Bernanke, over in China, trying to work the magic over there. And I don't know if they got exactly what they wanted. That's a question I'll have to ask Bob Chapman. Mr. Chapman. What goes on?
Well, first of all, the numbers are probably even worse than what they're presenting. And they are terminal in nature. They just continue to cause ongoing problems. And the situation with the meeting of those of you who are subscribers to the International Forecast, you know that forecast that the meeting would be a loser, a bust, and that they would come back with nothing. And it was all show, smoke and mirrors, El Scamo, disinformation, and they came back with nothing. You saw Thailand the day before yesterday. They put on, rather than go into details, they put on new rules which restricted the investment in their country, because their currency had gone up 15% in a little while, and that's quite a increase. And they were trying to make the currency go back down again, which they did accomplish, but they also accomplished knocking stock in Thailand down quite a bit, 15%, and then it was down today about 108 points, so it's down maybe 20%. And other nations throughout Asia took a whack as well. And the reason is that these countries are going to have to revalue. And they ultimately have no choice in it. Wrong is that the United States government came out and officially declared that China is not manipulating its currency. They must think we're cretins. And they must think we're very, very dumb people. Because China is manipulating their currency, and so isn't anyone else who is shipping goods to the United States. And that's going to continue until they allow the dollar to fall, and then those currencies have to go up. Perhaps the ultimate product coming to the United States won't be as expensive as it would have been otherwise. An example, let's say the dollar went down 40%, other currencies went down 40%. You would expect 40% less for or more for items coming into the United States. Well, that's not necessarily true because they might jiggle around with their currency and depreciate it a little, and they may also cut their profits. But it would be at least 25%. And so that's very important, because what's going to happen is it's going to slow down trade. It's going to create inflation in the United States if people continue to buy in the fashion that they have and in the numbers that they have.
Are you talking
that's
foreign goods?
That's also going to put more...
Foreign goods.
What's that?
Foreign goods, Bob?
Foreign goods would cost more in the United States. And so you have a double phenomenon here. You have the dollar going down. You have other currencies going up that they don't want to. And you also have price inflation as a result. Probably the worst of possible worlds. And that's going to lead to a deep recession, maybe a depression, and hopefully we will have a depression. The reason why is that the system that the United States must be purged. We have a fiat dollar running around the world since August 15, 1901, and the American economy has gone downhill ever since. And the only way you can solve that is by getting rid of the excesses. All of that money and credit that's been created, the Federal Reserve, and now by other entities, presently it's running somewhere at 12%. It's been doing that for the last few years. You can't operate the economy that way, because it leads to hyperinflation. And people are complaining, well, they're sitting with all these dollars and they're devaluing. Well, they should have thought about that when they were rigging the price of their currency. Is the answer? It's very simple. Trade tariffs. We had them since the inception of the United States. It's one of the things that made us a great country, by not letting countries with slave labor undercut our products. Well, that's what they're doing now. And the big exporters from these foreign nations, such as China, 85% of our items are coming for transnational conglomerates run by us.
But before, Bob, we didn't have the global governance scheme in place going back 230 years. I understand tariffs. I understand balancing out budgets on trade. But these people in the real world, they're going to do that. They're not going to do that, because the game here is to empty out the United States, destroy the middle class, which they're doing. They have just service industry jobs out there. They're not paid too well. That is under pressure from a workforce here that will work for much lower, not form unions. Won't demand that. They will take whatever they get, because it's still far and above what they used to earn in their respective countries before they migrated here.
Well, all of what you say is true, but the evolutionary answer, and where this is all going, is that with an economy where people are going to buy less and less things, and those things come from those countries. So they have recessions and depressions like us. It's not only going to destroy the American economy, it's going to destroy the world economy. And if you go one step further, what people do when they have No cart's been repossessed. No place to live because they had their house foreclosed upon. They have no jobs. They have no food. Their kids are screaming in the streets. They don't have any place to live. What follows?
Is that a rhetorical question? Because I don't
know. It's an answer question.
Okay. I don't know. It wasn't around during the Depression here in this country. We only had about a third of them actually working, two-thirds of them out. We had everything being confiscated, taken back by the banks and everything else. This time around, it's going to be a little different, Bob, because back then we were just transmigrating out of an agrarian culture. We'd fired up heavy industry. We were reinventing things. We were doing mass manufacturing projects. We were basically the economic engine of the world. Everybody else copied us. But things were different. We didn't carry somewhere between a $700 trillion deficit. We still had manufacturing. We still had a labor force. We still had anything in place here except one thing. They withdrew the currency, and we have a year-long depression in this country. But that's not going to be the same this time around, is it?
No, and there's a big factor. It's social. In the 30s, generally speaking, people help one another, and you didn't have the... You had a different moral code than you have today. People didn't commit crime. People, you know, might have complained, but they didn't have demonstrations and riots. Today we have people who can't believe their government. They've been told things that are entirely untrue. They're sick and tired of being lied to. They've never had a bad day in their life. I think you get revolution on your hands. That's where I think it's going.
I'm still trying to get my mind wrapped around this. Now, the government did release its financial report of the United States last Friday. Bernanke and the boys were in China. We had some ups in the gold and silver that day for some inexplicable reasons. We saw the dollar rise a little bit and the euro a little bit, but nothing. I watched the Dow Jones Industrials. I watched NASDAQ. I watched the market. Hardly a burp. The market was down yesterday. It recovered today. Is there anybody out there reading this report that says that this year alone we're another $4 trillion in the hole?
Some did, and those that did don't care. They think everything is going to go on like it is forever and ever, and everybody's just going to get richer and richer, and life's going to get better and better. And they truly believe that garbage. And it can't be that way. And figures are ignored. They're not even brought over the general news networks. I mean, you'll see an article here and there on it, it'll disappear. And they don't want people to know that. And the ones that do discover it, well, you're just more money, we care. As long as the system keeps on going and I'm employed, and the guy next to me is the one that's going to lose his job.
Yeah, the old thing is, when the neighbor loses his job, that's a recession. When I lose my job, it's a depression. Yeah. Well,
right.
Are people noticing? People, their next-door neighbors, their houses are going up for sale. Do they think that they're just selling to move a better house? We'll take the break. We'll be right back.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare Catholic Church's true teaching that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Zionist plot of the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of War 3 by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is a Zionist and how Congress is controlled by the Zionists. Father John Martinez gravely warns nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust in Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.publicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address. Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body recognizes and utilizes food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutri formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com. Call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com. Or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, powering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're right now, because you've used your debt, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and out the debt elimination scams if you'd like. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
December 14th and 15th, Mr. Bush sent the A-team, the entire economic A-team, to China. He had Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson and Fed Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke, five other cabinet-level officials, including Secretary of Commerce Carlos Gutierrez. Also in the delegation was Labor Secretary Elaine Chao, Health and Human Services Secretary Mike Litt, Energy Secretary Sam Bodman, and U.S. Trade Representative Susan Schwab. Now, I'm a little bit confused here, Mr. Chapman, as to why sent our economic hit team, or our A team over there, I should say, for what reason? Because the way I'm looking at this, now, China is holding over $1 trillion of our T-bills and our stuff over there. They've been making noises about moving away from that dollar, but they don't necessarily, it's not in their financial interest to watch the United States go by the wayside, because they're in unprecedented levels of products that are manufactured in that country, either by the state-owned manufacturing or joint manufacturing products or projects between government and prices. We have a lot of American manufacturers over there making the widgets shipped back in, as you pointed out, without the tariffs on it. So isn't China here in kind of a box that it can't get out of?
What they have to do is continue to supply enough work for millions and millions of people, and thereby they have a real problem. On the other hand, they have this problem with U.S. dollar-denominated assets, and of their total assets, about $750 billion worth are in U.S. securities of one kind or another. And, of course, they've been buying things around the world with those dollars and trying to buy American assets as well. And it's kind of difficult because some of the things that China to buy, they can't because they're still a communist country, and communism is still the antithesis of the economy or democracy, if you may. And so it's the riddle. They have been selling dollars. I think they will continue on a moderate basis. They've been getting rid of a lot of dollars by purchasing commodities and stockpiling them. I think they've been buying gold, not in large amounts, but they've been buying it. And I think they'll continue on that track. The thing is, will they continue to absorb $4 or $5 billion a month in U.S. securities, mainly treasuries and agency paper, each month? And I don't know if they're going to continue to do that. And, you know, we do need $2.5 billion every day to offset the balance of payments deficit. We get that, it's to us, by foreigners like China. And
but this, see, this is where I'm confused, Bob, because if we need $2.5 billion a day to run this government, and the government itself, it doesn't find new ways of revenue through taxation, through other avenues, then they've got to go out there and sell their paper to somebody globally who can run this country. But they're already sitting there holding so much of our worthless paper as is right now. How is the government drumming up $2.5 billion a day?
From other central banks. But the problem that they're running into now is many of the central banks and interests in the Gulf oil-producing countries starting to divest themselves of dollars. And so that money that's been coming in, some $200 million in the last year and a half, just from that sector alone, will probably cease. And if you can't cover the amount, you're essentially bankrupt. In other words, the difference between the deficit and what you've got coming in an investment. And so essentially you're bankrupt and the value of currency is going to go down. And so I think China has resigned themselves. They're going to take a big hit. And my guess is about 40%.
Now, the numbers that the Bush boys would like everybody to believe, and I am sure they'd be happy if people believed it, that, you know, that, well, the trade deficit for this year was only $248 billion, or not the trade deficit, but the total deficit for the government. But if you look at the breakdown, and we're talking about throwing in all the federal obligations. Now, if you just look at formal cash-based deficit, okay, money on hand. Yeah, we're in the hole, $248 billion and some change. But if you throw in the Social Security and Medicare deficit, then we're looking at $4.6 trillion. Now, somebody on the program called up yesterday and asked me and said, well, wait a minute. If I do my math, $2.25 billion a day the government needs to operate. But if you do your application, it doesn't come out to $4.6 trillion. And if the government is in the hole for $4.6 trillion, where did they get the money to run the government? We'll get Mr. Chapman's response after this. Bob, I'm still trying to get my mind wrapped around this. These figures are not adding up. I see our bigger deficit holes. I see everybody out there walking around in space like nothing has changed. Be right back.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years, with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask for a free DVD and financial analysis report.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rusfeld's disease. Find out who is responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com. With recent international flight from the dollar refusing, how to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power. Let the Republic Trading Group you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable Republic Trading Group. Call 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie know or Jeff Bennett help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today. 1-800-691-7898 and lock in power of gold.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
I was talking during the break, and folks, I'm honest, I will tell you, I was talking to my producer and my webmaster, and I admitted, I said, I'm just as clear as mud on this issue, and a lot of people are have questions out there. We'll open up the phone lines for Ms. Chapman at 800-310-9443. I'm still trying to get my mind wrapped around this, how exactly all this is working. Bob, you're going to have to take me to school, my friend, because I'm not understanding. If we are $7 to $100 trillion in the hole, and that's the total federal obligations, they need $2.5 billion to run. If we're throwing everything else that the government is bound with and all the debt, Medicare, Social Security, whatever else, whatever other giveaways that goes on the annual budget year after year after year, I'm still a little bit confused as to where the hell they're getting this money from.
So they have two sets of books.
Right.
And one of them is cash, and the other is accrual. And 10 years ago, Congress instructed the administration at that time to use both so that people would see the difference between the political world and the corporate world, because that's the way corporations report. And as you said, the real accrual figure in debt is somewhere between 70 and $100 trillion. So with 70, it's a conservative number, considering ranges. And they expect to be able to pay that back over the next 30, 40, 50 years, whatever the time frame is.
You can't retire a debt with a federal or a debt money system. That's impossible.
Well, that means that they are not going to be able to pay out the promised benefits, and they're coming to that conclusion already. In fact, just with Social Security and Medicare alone, they say that they have to raise taxes, and they would come out to be 80% of income of individual Americans. And so we can't do that. So the obvious thing is that the entitlement programs have to be pared back. Now, it's not only a problem within the federal government. We have a private pension system, which is not truly funded. It's about $600 billion less in savings for the retirees than they're supposed to have. New law said that they get 10 years to bring it up to par. In other words, 100% of what they're going to owe to these people. And so what corporations are doing, they're dropping out of the program, and they're saying, your pension ends here. What's in there is there. We're not going to give you any more pension money. And whatever is there when you retire at 65, then that's yours. If you want to continue to have that kind of program, you can start a 401k program. And that's the corporate way of wiggling them out of it. Corporations don't care about their employees anymore. Sort of reflection back to pre-1930.
Well, they discovered, they discovered that we don't have to care about our labor pool because now we have a global labor pool.
That's true. That's one of the reasons. But the most important reason is shareholder value is what it's called. And it's the heck with the employees and everything from shareholders. Well, most of the shares in America are owned by a very small group of people. about 15% of the people own about 60% of the shares. So they're the only ones who are many, and that's why we have this gigantic gulf that increases each day between the rich and the middle class and the poor, or the lower class, if you may. And that's going to bring about social unrest and problems. You've got to let something fall through the cracks. If you're stupid and you don't, you get revolution on your hands. That's exactly where they're headed.
10 years ago, I sat down, and it took me a couple of days to do this, to look at all the facts and figures. And what I could deduce 10 years ago on Medicare and Medicaid alone, astronomical budget. I don't have the figures in front of me, and I can't recount them from 10 years ago, the figures. But what I find here is what we figured out was the government could cancel the Medicare and Medicaid in this country, where all people that were signed on it at the present time, they could literally write, now get this, folks, the Treasury of the United States could literally write a $1 million check to all the recipients with a little caveat, a little note attached. Don't come to us for any more Medicare, Medicaid benefits. Here is your benefit package paid to you in whole. Now, realizing, of course, that most people will never collect in services or anything else even close to that figure, and I'm not advocating a government redistributing the wealth in that fashion, but just to make a point here, that the government that year could have said, hey, look, all you Medicare, Medicaid people out, we're going to make you millionaires overnight. We're going to send you a check. Don't come to us for any more benefits. You invest wisely. Put that in interest-bearing accounts. Do whatever you want to do. But we're just going to whack out that Medicaid and Medicare problem on the United States government. And I've been asked, and my response has been to people on the Social Security issue, that I don't care if it's Social Security. I don't care if it's Medicaid, Medicare, anything else. I check my Constitution. It doesn't fall under the general welfare clause here. If you want to take welfare to its exact meaning, welfare state, whatever, no, that we could phase all of these out right now. The government could stop taking the money out of people's checks, leave it in their pocket. They could spend it where they want it. That would be good for the economy. But they don't have any obligation to do this, except supposedly what the people are demanding our politicians give them as far as our little social contract with the government. But it's failing, and it's failing miserably. They cannot fix it. It cannot be fixed. And then we keep having these little patty cake Zoom games here with the politicians, assuring that everybody that's out there on the fixed incomes, that are on Medicaid and Social Security benefits and all that other stuff, that don't worry, you're going to be taken care of. But you're here telling me that they're going to have to start making cuts, and drastic cuts.
That's true. That's the only way they can continue any kind of a program like that. And medical care has approximately been increasing in double digits every year since 1995. And who knows where that's going to stop.
But could
I see that the government is now going to cut back on the money that's allocated for pharmacies that are yielding, dealing in brand name drugs so that they can save some billions of dollars. And I can understand that, but the problem is that's going to make generics less attractive, and it's going to put a lot of pharmacies out of business.
Let's go to the phones. Kathy in Illinois. Hello, Kathy.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I have two questions for Mr. Chapman. The first one is, do you think that annuities will be a safe investment when the economy crashes? And the second question I have is, why does he think that so many people are so resistant to the New World Order information, and that, you know, they won't listen to they won't listen to anything you have to say? They're just very narrow, and they're so resistant to it.
Okay, hang on there. Annuities, first question, New World Order, people aren't buying it.
Okay.
Well, first of all, annuities, those are monies that are invested in bonds and stocks.
Uh-huh.
And were we to have a normal correction down from the bubble that exists within the stock market and the real estate market, I would think that there's an excellent possibility that the stock market on the Dow Jones Industrial Average could revisit 7268. And if that's the case, perhaps 40% of the money that is, you know, been saved and put into those annuities is going to disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that some of the annuities could be in trouble. I also believe that annuities in some states, I'll take Massachusetts as an example, and I think Connecticut as well, if the insurer who created the annuity goes to the legislature and says, look, we can't guarantee the payout of, say, 5% that we guaranteed. We have to guarantee 3%. You'll have to change the law or we'll go under. And in some states, they can change the law, which would cut back, you know, 40% in that case of what you could collect. But generally speaking, annuities are safe overall. It all depends on where the economy goes. I mean, this is there's no set answers. You know, you just got to play it as it comes.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, annuities are okay. I don't like them, but they're not bad. But if we run into trouble, they could run into trouble too.
Well, if the economy collapses, how much longer are they going to be making annuity payments, Bob? If the economy...
Well, usually annuities, for the most part, one-time cash payments for the most part.
Okay.
And then they take the money and invest it. It's really just another mutual fund for all intents and purposes.
All right. And her second part of that question is, why aren't people interested in the New World Order? I mean, we've talked about that on this program for, nigh on 15 years now. It is globalism. We're watching it take place. We watched it. We witnessed it being formed in Europe. We're witnessing the beginnings of it here in America. Why aren't people, why aren't they interested? Why don't they want to know about it?
Well, I've been involved for 47 years in telling people about what is really going on. And there was no more acceptance 47 years ago than there is today. And
even though that there's tangible evidence, there it is, this is the game plan, this is where this is eventually going to lead, world government, one world currency, one world this, one world that, it's all being put into place. But 47 years ago, they're not listening any more than they are today.
Some don't believe it. Some don't care. Some can't be bothered. And the reaction will come when they're out of a job, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's when the trouble's going to come, and it's going to come all at once, and they say, well, why didn't anybody ever tell me about this? And, of course, they were told, but they weren't listening. And so what you have to do is what John and I do, and that is to keep on telling people, because out of every 100 people that you tell, there's going to be one interested party, and then you can give them the information to inform them of what was really going on.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. I appreciate your call. Dylan in Texas. Hello, Dylan.
Good day, John. Mr. Chapman, it's always great hearing you. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and you are not one of them. And as a layman in regards to finance, I believe I have my mind wrapped around what's happening in the macrocosm picture, and I would like your feedback on what I say, and I believe I have some concrete suggestions here in the microcosm picture of people's lives, and I'd like your feedback. As far as the dollar goes, we know that the dollar was, in last century, was backed by gold and then by silver, and then through international agreements, it's all oil purchases internationally had to be conducted in U.S. dollars, correct?
The Bretton Woods agreements, yes.
And, well, that's, as we speak, is coming to an end or is threatened severely. That is, that international oil transactions are being conducted in things other than the U.S. dollar, correct?
Bob?
Well, I don't know. Is this a statement, or do you have a question?
Well, see, I've been telling. I want you to verify. Do I know what I'm talking about? I've been telling my family members. I've been watching silver and gold prices. I remember last November 1st of 2005. Silver is at $7.47 an ounce, and now it's up over $13 an ounce. I had said that silver would be to $20 by the end of the year. I didn't take into account the elections, and I think it's still being held down right now because of upcoming Christmas season. But I've been telling anyone I can to get out, to divest out of the dollar, to get into gold and silver or wheat, honey, beans, and oil, anything of value.
Well, I think you're telling them the right thing. That's what they should be doing. And if you can get people to do that, later on they'll be happy about it. If you're wrong, they can always eat the beans and whatever we put away. Because that lasts several years, especially freeze-dried. And in all probability, they'll be selling their gold and silver-related assets at higher prices. So you're doing the right thing, and you are correct. The dollar is the world's reserve currency. Whether it will remain that way remains to be seen. If we have a 60% correction, and we're still saddled with this debt, and the current account deficit doesn't get better, I would think there'd be continued tremendous pressure on the dollar.
But how could...
They would want to go to another venue.
But how could the deficit picture in this country get any better? I mean...
I don't think it can.
That's what I was thinking. I'm going...
And that's why I mentioned the trade tariffs, because I believe that they're the answer.
But we're
not politically palatable, but I think they're the answer.
Well, it's politically antithetical to what they're doing. Now they're trying to build their global governance. They've convinced the industries of captains of industries in this country that, hey, you know, for your shareholders, for your stocks, your bottom line, all this stuff, hey, you know, we're going to allow you to manufacture goods and whatever overseas. We're in a global economy now. You know, nobody wants to really address the trade imbalances between China because, quite frankly, we can't produce anything in this country that China wants to buy, that they can't manufacture, do it cheaper over there to sell to their own people. So that deficit is always going to be there. But to try to convince anybody that we should be putting up tariffs against any foreign goods coming into this country, it goes exactly against what they've been trying to do, build this global governance scheme. I mean, that's kind of a red herring, isn't it, Bob?
No, I think that it would have to be accomplished by groundswell. People would have to understand what the solution is. And there are people who are looking for solutions. And that is a solution. I don't know of any other solution. It's a solution would have to come from Congress because people were complaining about what was going on. And, I mean, that's the only answer I know.
Dylan, I thank you for your call.
You're welcome.
All righty. We'll continue this. 800-313-9443. We're entering into the world of finances, ladies and gentlemen. And from our perspective, it's screwed up. It's upside down. It's inside out. And if you think it's bad for you trying to balance your checkbook, think what they're trying to do inside the government. We'll be right back.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned.
by doing nothing more than you're doing right now because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 3 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
Dan in Minnesota. Hello, Dan. You're on the air with my guest today, Mr. Robert Chapman, international forecaster.
Hi, John. Hi, Bob. Enjoy the show. Three quick questions for Bob. Number one, where do you see silver possibly going as far as the height? Because that's what I've bought the hedge against this. Number two, when the government seized gold back in the 30s, who ended up with the gold after the government stole it? And number three, I have 401k and IRAs currently. Most of it is in domestic funds, but my 401k, half of it's in First Eagle's overseas fund, and half of it is in domestic large cap. Would you recommend more of it going overseas? Because if you bring the money back later, it would actually be, if the dollar falls, worth more. Just want to know that. I'll just wait for an answer. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dan.
Well, if I answer the last one first, and I don't think that the rest of the world is going to fare any better as far as the stock markets are concerned, than the United States will. In fact, they're probably more vulnerable. And if I'm correct, I think what you should be doing is tending toward funds that allow you to buy gold and silver shares or government paper. Now, it would be nice if Swiss franc paper was available in the front for you, but it probably isn't. So probably the two safest positions that you've got to choose from would be those two. And if you don't have any gold funds, I would tend to gravitate towards just government securities, because I think the market is in the process of topping out here. And I think that any correction that they would have on the market, they would want to happen soon, because they would not want to have a falling stock market November 2 years from now. So that's where I think you should go with those. John, what was the other two questions?
Dan, are you still there? I don't know. I hate when they ask go ahead. You still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, go ahead.
Where do you feel the top on silver could possibly be, and is it still worth buying it? And number two, after the government seized the gold and stole it from the American people back in the 30s, who ended up with that gold? Where did it end up? People did not get it back. I'm curious on that.
Well, the gold ended up either in the U.S. Treasury or it was used to pay off debt. I remember back in the early 60s that a very large dealer said to me, "Well, we got more coins coming in." I said, "Well, where are they coming in from?" and they said Switzerland. And a lot of debt was paid off with $20 gold pieces, and others, I'm sure, as well. So I think a lot of debt was paid off in gold, and what was left remained in the treasury. And I noticed that in the last several years that, and particularly the last year, England and Germany have swapped gold with the United States. So what that means is that, well, they didn't say who they swapped it with, but the only parties that have non-deliverable gold are the United States government. And that's a melted down gold from 34 and 5, which is between 88 and 94% pure. And that can't make a good delivery. So they say to the Germans, well, we'll do this and you do that so that we can sell gold into the market to keep the price from going up. So the Germans do that for them, and they later probably will receive refined bars.
Okay,
it's interesting that
Dan,
it's about
Bob. We got to take this break here, Dan.
Okay.
I'm gonna drop you here, but we'll get around to your question about where is the ceiling for silver, and my response to that is how high is up. We'll get Mr. Chapman's response to it. 800-313-9443. We'll continue taking calls. We'll be right back.